movie podcast.
That was Christy.
Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again.
Wow, I'm sorry. What a mess that was, y'all.
It really was. I am sorry. It feels like a Friday.
Yeah, it's not, though.
It's not.
It's for you guys, it is. Like, when we drop this episode, it is Friday.
But it's a Thursday that feels like Friday after a snowstorm for us.
Yeah, not great. That was awful. But I didn't leave. I didn't leave my place. I just
lucky you.
I know.
I drove in it.
Well, you didn't have a choice.
No.
I did. And I chose not to, because I didn't want to. I also appreciate the extra sleep I get when I don't have to drive in.
Yeah. But I did get to leave work early yesterday, but I still had to drive in this morning. It still sucked.
Yeah.
Roads be icy.
It's gross.
It was just straight ice, man.
It's just gross.
Yeah.
It was mostly sleeting yesterday. Oh, gross.
Well, up here it was a mix, so it was like snow, sleet, snow, sleet, snow,
sleet. Yeah, I
kept
hearing it hit the windows, and I'm like, that's not
snow. So, it was just like layers of like snow and then ice, and then snow and then ice, and so like, it was like the really good packing snow for like snowmen, but ooh, not for getting your car out.
No, that's like worst case, you're gonna die sort of snow.
Yeah. But anyways,
Welcome! Christy and I, we watch a horror movie every other week, and then we talk about it. Because we like to be opinionated people who like to talk about our feelings. We're in touch with our feelings.
Sometimes a little too much.
I mean, I'm in touch with my rage, but that's about it. I'm just an angry little person.
I mean, same. We have rage rants every once in a while.
It's fun, though, because I notice when I get really angry about something, I just go. There's no likes or ums.
There's no breathing.
No, it's just...
I mean, you're also like that when you're excited about something.
That's true, I am. But usually when I'm excited about something, I do have, like... I have a different voice for it, though. When I'm angry...
You do, but you still don't stop.
I don't stop generally.
This is true. This is very true. So, this week, we're covering my pick for Experiments.
Yes.
And we're doing Stay Out of the Attic from 2020, which is a Shudder original. So, if you haven't seen it and don't have Shudder, I'm sorry. But I really wanted to cover this one just because it's like bad but entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And it will allow us to talk about a very depraved individual. So, just go get him out of the way so we can just enjoy talking about the movie. Because we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie anyway.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Stop. Go get your free trial of Shudder. Yeah. Watch the movie. Come back.
Yeah. So, the main villain in this, his name is Joseph Mengele, he was the angel of death during the Holocaust from 1911 to 1979. Like, that's how long he lived. And he was one of the head people at the concentration camps and, like, Auschwitz.
Yeah. He was I would say, like, you could call him a surgeon or a medical doctor.
One of the main physicians. Yeah. Medical.
Physician, I feel like, is a loose term for what he did.
He was into, like, anthropology and medicine. Those were his main things. He started off as a researcher and he worked himself up to a medical officer.
Yeah, and he was into genetics, which, obviously, at this time, I don't want to say rulers, but that's kind of what they were.
Dictators.
Yeah, German dictators were very into that, obviously. They were trying to find the best Aryan race and all that jazz.
If you are unfamiliar with the Holocaust, I'm sorry that your school district failed you.
Yeah, go ahead and look that up. That is it's a very long topic and lengthy.
It's a very interesting read. However, it is also one of the darkest parts of history.
Yeah, we did a very extensive unit of the Holocaust in middle school, and I think it ended with us watching The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which, I don't know, for a seventh grader, I don't know if I was ready
for that. I didn't watch
that
until high school. In seventh grade, we just have, like, we drew cards to know if we were Jewish, Catholic, mm-hmm. married, divorced, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then weekly, we would go through, like, writing journals and saying, like, oh, today my husband, who was Jewish, was taken away from me. Mm-hmm. And, like, trying to put ourselves kind of
it was
in
like
this
a
situation.
Simulation of it. We did yes. the same thing. We went through the same school district.
Yeah.
But like,
so they.
I still remember I my person's name. Do you remember your person's name?
No.
And then you people would die. Like as you got further into the unit,
yeah.
there were people that would die because they mm-hmm. were Jewish and they were put into a concentration camp. It was a whole.
And in class, we had badges yep. signifying if we were or not, just to. Not, like, it was so that we understood what was happening without...
Yeah, there was no animosity towards the children sort
no.
of thing, but it was a learning experience. I mean, I met with Holocaust survivors when I was growing up as well. That was field trips for us, like,
yeah.
very, you know, we grew up knowing this stuff. At least I did, and I still hope that they teach these
Same.
Things.
Yeah. I do know that, like, I had friends in college that had no idea the Holocaust side of things. They just knew the American side
of the
World War II. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's not good.
You don't fully understand what Auschwitz was, do you?
Yeah, man.
Like, all the bad things.
So Auschwitz was one of the worst concentration camps.
It was one of the worst, one of the biggest, and Joseph Mengele is one of the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's one of those guys that doesn't say no and doesn't like to take time off. I'm gonna tell you why. So he was one of the guys in the concentration camps, especially Auschwitz. They would either keep you for labor
mm-hmm.
and do experiments and everything like that, or you were immediately sent to the showers. The showers being
the gas chambers.
And he was one of the people being like, you go over here, you go over there.
And he took pride in this. Like,
he
enjoyed doing this.
He was having a lot of fun, which is terrible for me to say.
Like, I do have a question just about him. Obviously, psychotic. Is he
yeah.
a, like, is he, oh my gosh, my brain. I keep thinking psychologist.
A psychopath?
Psychopath.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Because he enjoyed.
Like, my take is that he was a serial killer that was allowed to do what
oh, yeah.
he did and
he
get away with it.
He was a hired serial killer.
Yeah, basically in the circumstances of what was happening, he could do what he wanted and get away with it. And, like, literally, like, he did papers, he did the whole thing. It's awful.
Yeah. He was hunting for his perfect experiments,
mm-hmm.
I'm quote-unquote. So he was looking for twins.
Mm-hmm.
He loved trying to experiment with, like, eye colors,
yes.
eyes of any sort.
People with physical abnormalities, little people,
mm-hmm.
that, all of that. He just...
Those were the people he wanted to test on.
Mm-hmm. Twins especially. I think that's his
Twins were his primary focus. And the reason why he didn't take a day off is because he was concerned that people who were taking his place during his breaks would let people slip and he would lose... Subjects.
Precious subjects. Jesus
yes.
Christ.
So, those are the important things for this movie. And he did run after the war.
He
and
did.
He went into hiding.
And he escaped. He escaped,
100%. He was also confirmed dead.
Yes.
A couple decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we're about to talk about, clearly... is fictional,
mm-hmm.
very loosely based on this man. It's pretty much just his name, his occupation, and what he liked.
Yeah.
This movie has no representation of the Holocaust, the victims that went through that, and it's not real. He's not still alive, he's
no.
not doing this, this is not based on a true story, quote-unquote.
Yeah, supposedly, well, actually they say he drowned in 1979 or something like
that. Yes, and they found
and they
his bones.
Exhumed his body and were able to confirm that it was, in fact, him. There were manhunts after the war and things like that, but...
Nazi hunters, baby!
Yeah, Nazi hunters and different things going on, and they kept trying to find him, but it just wasn't working. He moved. Like, he was aware they were hunting him. It's
yeah.
not like he stayed in one place.
No. And that's
also
kind of a thing in the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's still on the run, still experimenting, and the reason why he's moving is because someone let him know that hunters were getting close to him and he had to move.
It's like... It's so weird because I read his Wikipedia page just as a reminder because I knew who he was. It's just been a while, and
I didn't
had...
know who he was until after high school. We didn't
really
touch on him much when I was learning about him in school, like, maybe we had a paragraph about him.
Okay.
When we were talking about Auschwitz itself. However, we did not go in depth about him when I was in school. Everything I learned about him was literally after the fact.
I don't know. I might have read some Holocaust books and found information.
That's also very possible.
Because I was very interested in this subject at one point. I personally, like, where I am in my life now, I like the war side of things and learning more about that than I do about the Holocaust, because the Holocaust is really difficult to stomach.
It really is, and if you decide to do your own research on this man, tread lightly, because mm-hmm. it does get very graphic very quickly.
I did go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. when I was in high school, so I've also done that. So I probably had a little more background there, and I had the opportunity to go to a concentration camp when I was in Germany, to Dachau, but we ran out of time and I didn't get to go. But if I ever do get back over to Europe, it is an experience I would like to have, just to, like, see it.
It's important. It's a very important
thing to remember. It's a thing to remember.
You have to remember it, because if you just gloss over it in schools like they're starting to do, like...
I mean, there are people who deny that it ever happened. I don't know how you would ever... I cannot imagine that, but...
Millions of people...
Yeah.
Died.
That horrifically.
Weren't even fighting in a war. They were just picked out because of who they were.
Mm-hmm. What they believed in.
What they believed in, who they were, like...
Mm-hmm.
No.
And it absolutely astounds me there was a whole underground network after the war mm-hmm. for SS and people in the higher-ups in Hitler's rule that, like, got away with this stuff. Like, it makes me so mad because it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were never brought to justice. Now, the Nuremberg trials, I think, are after the Holocaust. They did execute a lot of those people, the ones they could find.
Yes.
But they didn't find everyone. And unfortunately, Mengele is one of those people.
Yeah, he's a douche that got away with it, unfortunately. But we needed to give the background, because that is part of the movie.
Yes.
Now, granted, there's not a whole lot after this about the movie.
It's new. It's from 2020.
It's newer, and it's an independent film, like, through...
Mm-hmm.
It's only on a streaming service that isn't that well-known. So... But it was an outlet for us to be able to discuss a little bit heavier of a topic, because we haven't done a heavy topic in a little while.
I mean, and I don't think we've done anything on Holocaust. I do recommend looking that stuff up.
We talked about Hitler once in Get Out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Briefly.
Yes.
But this allowed us to talk about a real-life horror, and then, like... hopefully spark interest in reading about it, because it's an important piece of history that people need to remember.
You don't have to look up Mengele. If you want to look up other things, there's a lot of information.
Start with
this.
The boy in the striped pajamas.
God, that movie's so freaking sad.
I honestly
would recommend more, like, start with autobiographies written from Holocaust survivors. Eli Knight, I believe, is
book.
One. I can't remember.
There was a book, I think, called The Rag Doll.
That
one was really good, and would recommend, because I think...
Eli, there we go. Eli Wiesel? Wessel. I believe, wrote a book about it. Let me see.
Yeah, honestly, read the books from the survivors. It'll be probably the most accurate of what the experiment
is. I mixed his book and his last name. Knight is the name of the book he wrote. Eli Wessel is his name. So, I mean,
could you imagine if the book was named Wessel? Wessel.
But, so, it's... That's what I recommend first. Go to the people who lived and experienced it. There's a lot of stuff out there. I think there's documentaries, there's books, there's... I mean, this is a heavily, heavily covered topic. It affected millions and millions and millions of people.
If you're a college grad looking for an independent study for your history class, do this.
That is a very big topic. You might want to narrow it down a little in there.
A little bit, but, like, you have a place to start.
Fair. I mean, like, I think I did the WASPs. I can't remember if that was World War... I think that was World War II. They were women pilots.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for, like, one of my history class things.
There you go.
It had to be women. I had to do a women's history thing, because it was a women's history class, so...
There you go.
But, yes, that, like I said, I would start there and go where it interests you.
Yes. So, with the heavy topic out of the way.
Yeah, now we have
let's rip apart this movie and the bad acting and everything like that. So,
this
will probably be a shorter episode. So, yes, Kelly, hit us with the cast.
Yeah, so Ryan Francis is Albert Schillinger. Probably Schillinger. Mm-hmm. Morgan Alexandria is Imani. Bryce Fernelius is Carlos. Michael Flynn is Vern Mueller or Joseph Mengele. Brian Hobart is Anne. Avery Pizzuto is Sarah. And Garrett McClellan is the Creeper. And it's directed by Jaron Lauder.
Hot take, Ryan's kind of attractive.
Yeah, he is a little bit attractive.
So, let's dive into it. Like I said, I don't have any fun facts after this. Do you have
I don't, and there's also no taglines, so I have nothing.
So pretty much we're going to talk about the movie, and then we're going to grade it, and it will be a short episode.
Yeah, and then we'll get to announce what we're doing next, which... I'm excited!
Alright, so the plot of this movie, of Stay Out of the Attic.
Mm-hmm.
So three ex-convicts, Imani, Carlos, and Albert, are part of a moving company called Second Chances and everything like that, mm-hmm. and they are hired to help move this elderly German man
out of his home.
Out of his very big house.
Old Victorian mansion-style house.
Yeah. And they walk in, and he's like, hey, if you can cover the main two floors, has to be out by midnight, I'll pay you this much, mm-hmm. I'll pay you extra.
I'll pay you a little more than that, but do not go in the attic or the basement.
And he will handle it. Okay. Sure.
Now, we're already getting some creepy vibes from this guy.
Yeah. He's thrown around, like, thousands of dollars in their face.
And cash.
Hard cash. Envelopes filled with cash.
Yes.
And they agree to it. However, they kind of all sense a little bit of a bad vibe about this this job, but Carlos has a kid that he's trying to see, and they're all kind of hurting for cash because they're ex-convicts trying to...
They're trying to start anew. Second chances.
Right. And they do advertise that, which is good because then you know who you're hiring, but at the same time, people are not always understanding about that.
Yeah, very.
So, they're hurting for cash, and they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And so we have 20 minutes, essentially, of them running around the house, getting things off the walls and everything like that. Our sassy black lady, she's the only one equipped with her full-on belt of tools, and she's like, I got this.
I really like her, too.
I love her so much.
She is the only actor in this that I'm like, yeah, girl! Like,
she's the most genuine.
Yes. I like Carlos a lot, too.
Yeah, but she, like, she knows...
She's loose.
She's loose. Yeah. She knows what she has to do. She understands both of their history, and she understands that they come from different lives than what she is used to, and she's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And she has come to terms with her past and how she's moving forward. Love her. And she's fully equipped to handle any room she's handling. I love it.
Now, it's important that, like, they're taking breaks and things, and, you know, there is a moment where Albert has a tattoo that he shows.
Yes, that is around, like, 7 or 8. It's clearly gotten dark. They're taking, like, a little dinner break to have some sandwiches, and Carlos is wondering about Albert because Carlos is brand new. Mm-hmm. Like, this is his first day on the job.
Literally first job.
Yeah, and Imani is the one that referred him, essentially. And so Albert is wearing, like, longer sleeves, and he's more covered up than the other two wearing the t-shirts. And Carlos is questioning, and he's like, what were you in for and all that? Mm-hmm. And he sees a tattoo on his arm that is representative of the skinheads, which is a very, like, white supremacist, like, white power type mindset group. Very racist.
Yeah.
But Albert's like, I had to do what I had to do to survive in prison. I'm not proud of it. It's just what I had to do to survive. Carlos kind of begins to understand a little bit more after kind of lashing out a bit. Because...
I don't blame Carlos.
It's it's a painful situation. Like, mm-hmm. you just found out your boss is part of a racist faction.
Yeah.
Which, Albert, to me, very clearly doesn't come across as a racist or someone who would stereotypically be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
I should say. And he's not. Throughout the whole movie, he's consistent with that.
Yeah, he's like, I don't belong to that.
No.
This and that, yeah.
I understand what I did in the past was wrong. I understand what I did in jail was wrong. I understand that I had to do what I had to do to survive. I'm out. I'm fixing my life.
Yeah.
And I got you guys.
Redemption.
Yeah, this is my redemption arc. So, and his arms are all covered in tattoos, but, like, the skin head one is what Carlos noticed. So, they were like, okay, enough of the backstories. We understand, like, Amani's got some rage issues, Carlos has a kid, and Albert, we know his past. Going back in, and they're like, okay, we're gonna separate, divide and conquer, try to tear apart these rooms so we can get it done by midnight so we can get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
So, Amani makes a bet with Carlos, like, I can finish my room before your room, and that kind of is, like, friendly competition to maybe, like, get through the job quickly. So, she's working on, like, a nursery. Creepy.
Yeah, it is.
And Carlos is working on a study.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert is kind of going through, the rooms that they've already gone through mm-hmm. and trying to clear out some of, the smaller leftover stuff.
Yeah.
And Albert notices, like, a weird lock.
Yes, he does.
Going up to the attic, like, locking the attic door, and it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very old, like...
extremely old lock.
Nazi-symboled iron lock.
Yep, mm-hmm. And he pauses, and he already had some inkling something weird was going on, but this kind of confirms that maybe we should get out of here as soon as possible.
Yeah, so this is his red flag.
But the old man approaches him and is like, oh, you know what that is? Hell yeah. It's gross.
Yeah, it's not great. Not a good thing.
He's like, I know what you know what that is. Wink, 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 wink. Like, it feels like very much like that.
Like, there's a Nazi sigil on it.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
It's not the swastika, but it's like a, one of the eagle.
I don't remember.
Emblems, I think. It's been a minute.
It's a bad juju.
Bad juju. Carlos is working on his room. And he's piling up books and boxes.
And he starts to find medical stuff.
He knocks over a pile of books and finds letters from Joseph Mengele.
Yes.
And also, diagrams and stuff like that.
Of the brain and things like that.
Yeah, they're all medical books. And Amani is jamming out to her headphones. She's working on the crib. And we see behind her a hand come out of the hole in the ceiling.
Yep.
And it retracts. So, something's clearly in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
We have now confirmed that something is creepy in the attic.
Yeah, we don't know what it is.
No, she doesn't know what it is. So, they all convene where Amani is, and they're like, you know what? We're gonna call it. We're gonna get out.
Yes.
And she kind of convinces them, like, hey, if we just stick together and maybe we take one room all together
mm-hmm.
and just get it all out into the truck, we'll be good. So, then they all start working on the nursery to get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos, in his kind of panic packing, he finds a suitcase.
He does.
In this particular suitcase, when they open it, they find more diagrams that are more graphic, mm-hmm. that are more handwritten as well,
mm-hmm.
as well as teeth.
And he finds birth certificates?
Birth certificates for twins.
Yeah.
And so now Albert's starting to put two and two together. And Vern, or Joseph, has been watching them on monitors, realizes what they've discovered, and hits a button or a switch
mm-hmm.
and locks the whole house down.
Yep.
So now these three...
they try and get out, but they cannot escape.
Out. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, we can't really... So Amani is supposed to try to find a way out,
mm-hmm.
and the other two are going to go up into the attic.
Yes. So... as Amani goes to the front door, Mengele chloroforms her or whatever and takes her away. While that's happening, the boys are up in the attic. Which, they go up there, and there's some noises, and they're like, what the hell? And it turns out to be a young woman and her twin, Anne and Sarah. And
It's revealed that they are surgically conjoined.
Yes, which is spine. Apparently something this man tried to do in real life.
Yes. Which, great for a horror movie. Horrible terrible for real life. Sarah is worse for wear than Anne is.
Mm-hmm.
Anne is able to at least communicate and still write. Mm-hmm. Sarah has, like, breathing apparatuses attached to her.
She got the bad end of the stick on this one.
It's clear that, like, Sarah got conjoined to Anne.
Yes. Yes. Very much. Not the other way.
So, Carlos and Albert are like, yeah, we're gonna help this poor girl. Like,
of course. Shit. She needs help.
So, also, they can't really leave the attic quite yet because Carlos had come across the creeper.
Yeah.
Which is why the door is closed. This is terrifying. Yeah. So, the creeper is another experimented individual who is, like, superhumanish, Igor.
Yeah, he's gremlin-y.
He's kind of like he's gremlin. Lost his humanity for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And
know
he's
he
more
is.
Monster.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But it's very clear he was once a person.
Mm-hmm. He is another experiment. That much is clear.
Yeah, and he just kind of grunts and is very chaotic. One track mind.
Mm-hmm.
Master said this. I'm gonna go after this.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, well, he's gone and he's dealing with something. So they manage to get the girl out and they get her to the foyer and everything like that. Vern stops them.
Mm-hmm.
Informs them that he has taken Nemani.
Yep.
And drops her eyeball.
Because we see that he took her eyeball out.
Yes. It's a very visceral scene.
I did not watch it.
No. It's amazing that you're like, how are you watching this? It's eye stuff. I'm like, literally, just gotta get through it.
Yeah, because
the eye literally
like
goes into the eye.
Oh, God.
But, like, it's also a practical effect, so it was clearly, like, something retracted before the needle went in. So, like, it got sucked in. It was just a very interesting effect. The special effects in this, I actually think are very well done.
So, Mangala and eyes, real quick. I did just find something on this. He did do eye experiments. Mm-hmm. He liked, what was it, heterochromia, where you have two different eyes. But he also did stuff where he attempted to change eye color by injecting eye, like, chemicals into the living subject.
Yep.
Which, by the way, we didn't mention this, but he never used anesthetics.
No.
So, like, they were always,
that's
you know,
a waste of medicine. That's a waste of supplies.
He killed the people with heterochromatic eyes so that he could send them back to Berlin to be studied.
Yeah, he kind of collected his eyeballs.
Yeah, it says one of the survivors reports witnessing him performing vivisection without anesthesia, removing hearts and stomachs while the patients are alive and with no pain medications.
Yeah, he's a dick.
He's worse than that.
Maybe
one of
the
he's
every obscenity in the dictionary.
Yeah, like maybe one of the representations of like pure evil living on Earth.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ugh, gross. Anyway, sorry.
But yes, Amani's not dead, but her eyeball missing.
She don't have depth perception anymore.
No,
it's gone.
So Vern shoots Albert. And
yeah, he does.
Carlos rips off his shirt to try and stop the bleeding, and it is then revealed that on Albert's chest there is a Nazi officer
tattoo
that is very clean, so clearly it was done before prison.
Yeah, and Joseph is like, I knew I picked the right guy. And it's like, bro,
how... Bruh. So that freaks out Anne, so she starts running.
She goes to hide.
Yeah. She scampers as fast as she possibly can.
She does a pretty good job.
She goes, hides in that study, hides in a moving box. Carlos is then chased by the creeper, and he gets chased into a bathroom.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Poor Carlos.
And he kind of locks himself in there, because obviously he doesn't want this guy to follow him.
Exactly. Now, the bathroom setting is very Saw-like in terms of, like, the color. It's very, it's in the greens and the blues. It's in the very cool
it's
colors.
It's gross in there.
It's gross. Which, if you were keeping up, you know that it's probably a gas chamber.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
So Vern has moved our boy Albert down to the basement where Imani is, and he has turned on the gas to the gas chamber, locking Carlos in there. We kind of flip-flop back and forth a little bit, so Carlos, we'll just stick with Carlos real quick, because he's actually pretty quick. He manages to get a screwdriver and get the hinges off the door.
Yeah, and get out of the room.
And get out.
And then attack the creeper.
He attacks the creeper who's attacking Anne.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening over there. And then in the basement, Imani and Albert are yelling at each other because Vern, or Joseph, is there kind of egging them on, and he's like, oh yeah, he was an officer, and like, ruining the trust between the two.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that Imani and Albert are kind of playing it up.
Yeah.
Trying to extend the time that they have to figure out a way out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Imani's trying to get loose, like, her wrists and everything like that, and Albert is now patched up because Joseph's just like, you're
one of my boys.
You're one of my boys? I'm gonna patch you up. So he's got... He's all...
He's fine.
Magically healed up.
God. So, and then Albert plays it where he wants to see the next experiment he's going to do on Imani.
Yeah, he's going to take the other eye.
Yeah, and he said, okay, sure, and lets him out of his handcuffs.
Idiot.
Yeah, you dumb bitch.
Dumb bitch.
Oh, so at this point, Carlos, we think, is dead. I had to ask you about that. I read somewhere that there is a post-credit screen, like, thing with Carlos, but I don't think we watched that, and I don't know if it meant he lived.
No, I'm counting him still as dead.
Okay. We might have to go back and... I couldn't find it on YouTube, so I couldn't double-check.
I don't remember actually watching it, so...
Apparently there's two post-credit scenes.
Before credits, I'm counting him.
Okay.
There.
Maybe might have to change that in a later episode. Report back.
We'll reassess and let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so Albert and Imani make it out of their restraints.
Mm-hmm.
Vern has got a broken nose because Imani beat the shit out of him when she was free. She let out her inner rage, which is very justified.
Yeah, absolutely.
You took
this
my
This is a life or death situation going on here. You do what you need to do. Like,
yeah. And Albert, knowing what that could do to her if she, like, killed the guy, she's just like, go.
Yep.
We're gonna go. We're gonna get Anne. We're gonna get Carlos. They don't know Carlos is...
pretty much dead.
Pretty much dead.
Yep.
Anne finishes off the creeper because she took the screwdriver and finished him off.
She did.
So, as the two of them are going up to get Anne, Joseph notices on the monitor that the creeper is now dead, and he's now hysterical.
Distraught.
His baby boy has been stabbed in the face with a screwdriver. So.
Imani and Anne get out of the house.
Yes, because Albert had found the switch to unlock the house.
Mm-hmm. But Albert comes back?
Albert comes back to finish the job.
Yeah, he does.
In one of the best scenes of this movie.
Yeah, and...
in my opinion.
He basically gets him downstairs. He fucking kicks him down to the ground.
Yeah, and starts punching him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, that's in your blood. Like, that's permanent. Like,
yeah, your
can't
tattoo
get rid of...
is permanent.
Yeah, and he's like, you're one of us, and that's forever going to be there. So, Albert's just like, no, takes a knife, or a scalpel, I should say.
Oh, God.
And cuts off the tattoo.
Yep.
Pretty much most of his torso, because...
it's large. It's a very large tattoo.
Yeah. And he throws it in Joseph Mengele's face, and then curb stomps him.
But not before he opens a door.
As the curb stomp is about to happen, Joseph hits the button.
Mm-hmm.
Unlocking the big red door with the swastika that we've seen throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Unleashing all of his experiments that were similar to the creeper.
Right.
On Albert.
But Albert does kill Mengele.
Yes.
And that's how the movie ends, minus the postscripts, which we didn't watch.
Yeah.
Whoops.
But the end scene is my favorite gore moment and favorite death.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to, like, cut, throw in the face, curb stomp.
So what'd you think of this movie?
So this was my recommendation. think it's so bad it's good.
Yeah, that's fair.
I had watched it just on a random Tuesday board, mm-hmm. flipping through Shudder. I'm like, this... The title's fun. It said, stay out of the fucking attic. Yeah. I was like...
Yes, please.
Yeah, it was either that or, like, Halloween 2 or something that I was gonna watch.
This sounds better. I don't love this movie. It's not bad. It's just a really tough topic for me to watch. I was really anxious the whole time kind of watching it. Yeah. Because it's rough.
And that's fair.
And I think it's interesting because I used to be really into true crime, maybe like 5 years ago, and I can't stomach it anymore. I don't know what it is. It's not my thing.
You're getting old.
In my bones, I'm old. I think too, like, it's hard, like, horror is fictional, right? And that's why I like it so much.
And they drew from
real. Yeah, this, like, it's the same thing when we watched the Snowtown Murders. That was real, and it was very uncomfortable to watch.
That one for sure was uncomfy to watch.
Still think about that movie. It, like, still plagues me. I still have issues with it.
I believe it. I've watched so many horror movies lately that they're all starting to meld together. Like, I've watched, like, 16 horror movies in, like, 3 weeks.
That's a lot.
It's a lot for me, yes. But this one, for me, I think is just detached enough where it doesn't affect me as much as, like, Snowtown Murders did.
Yeah, it won't.
Joseph Mengele in general does affect me when I, like, hear podcasts or anything mm-hmm. like that about him. But thankfully, this had enough of a detachment. Like, it wasn't set in Germany, or it wasn't set
It wasn't realistic.
It was just the guy. Mm-hmm. And I can detach it. So, our kill count is 3 pre-credit scenes.
Yeah, like I said, we'll have to go back. I have no idea. But yeah, so, should we rate it?
Let's grade this shit.
So, Christy and I have 5 questions that we each score on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each, 100 total. First question is...
What, in our opinion, was it a good horror movie?
Gave us a 4.
I gave it a 7.
Okay.
Just because, like, I liked the premise. Parts of it were squeamish. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad.
No, it's not bad. It's not that bad. Just not my cup of tea.
For me, above average for being an independent streaming movie. How was the acting?
4.
2.
Yeah, it's not very good.
No, it's not. They're trying too hard in this movie. They loosened up as the movie went, but the beginning was so... It was obvious they started from the beginning.
Okay.
In my opinion, because they didn't know each other that well. There was still a disconnect.
Yep.
In terms of chemistry with characters, but it got better as the film went on.
It felt too much like reading lines versus being natural about it.
Correct. I think, like, if they had, like, the 3 of them, for instance, had met before, mm-hmm. like, gotten drinks, loosened up, and that most of the moving was improvised mm-hmm. instead of scripted, because some of it I could tell was improvised and some of it I could tell was scripted, and the scripted stuff is obvious.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So it's if like it was clunky. All, if like the first 20 minutes were improvised, mm-hmm. like this is your character, talk to each other like that, have fun.
Yeah.
You find, like, and have like cue cards of like, you find this. Mm-hmm. This is what it means. Right. React to right. it. Mm-hmm. Like that would have made a little bit more sense in the beginning. And Joseph was fine. Anne was fine. It was just. I think the acting and the writing had a disconnect.
Agree. And then, next question.
How were the special effects?
7.
9.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Pretty good practical effects. Compelling story or interesting twists?
3.
7.
Ooh, I was harsh on that.
I did it because the concept was there.
Okay, that's fair.
The writing, character development and writing, I gave it a 5.
I gave that a 2.
Like I said, it was bad in the beginning, got better by the end.
And again, I'm harsher because this is not... I try and be fair, but this was really not it for me.
And that's okay. This is our opinion.
Yeah. So my total is 20.
Mine is a 30, and that's a 50. So that's putting us in between Krampus and The Purge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a pretty fair rating, I feel like, so...
Yeah, it's on the lower spectrum.
It's like, it should be.
12th from the bottom, I think.
That's not that bad.
No. Like, it's better than some of the stuff we watched, and it's definitely worse than some of the stuff we watched. But, you know, we gotta cover the spectrum.
So, Christy, would you like to introduce our next movie?
So, actually, the next two movies, so the month of March, will be Hereditary and Midsommar.
I am pumped. I haven't seen these.
I actually haven't either. And? I haven't seen either. And so we will also, hopefully, provided time permits and everything like that, we will have our returning guest, Kenny.
Hell yeah.
From Friday the 13th.
Go listen to it.
Yeah, he wanted us to cover these movies, and he's wanted to be available to come and talk about it.
I'm honestly so excited. First of all, Kenny's a great guest. Second, I just want to see these movies. These have been sitting on my to-watch horror list pretty much at the top for a while now. And I keep waiting because I know we were going to do it.
Yeah. I specifically had them on my to-do list, but once we started, I was like, these are two I will watch specifically for the podcast when the time comes. So I deliberately did not watch them.
I had the same reaction. Also, won't watch them by myself because I've heard they're very scary. So I'm a little nervous. But I'm excited.
We'll probably watch, like, the first one this weekend and the next one next weekend. But, yes, that is our plan for March. Not really a theme, but, like, we're sticking with, like, a dual...
I mean, you could say that's a director theme.
Director. Excellent. Same universe-esque theme. I heard they're not really connected, but, like, same universe-y type
shit. Same kind of feel or vibe, I heard, maybe. I don't know.
What am I talking about?
You can't ask me. I don't know shit.
Well, alright, so that's it for this episode. If you like our artwork as much as we do.
Yeah, go visit my sister, Danny, at Danny Draws Dragons on Instagram, or listen to our podcast about Annihilation, where she guest speaks on it.
Yes, it was also her pick.
Yeah.
Because she's a sci-fi person.
She likes the sci-fi, which is good for us, because we don't.
I mean, we covered Alien.
Yeah, Alien's, like, iconic, though. Annihilation, not as much.
I mean, Natalie Portman.
For real.
If you're new to this podcast, you will discover that we do not like Natalie Portman.
I hate Natalie Portman. She did not deserve this, but I don't like her.
And if you want to give us movie recommendations, any theme recommendations, let us know how you're liking the podcast, what we could do better, yada, yada, yada. Or also, like, tiebreakers. Mm-hmm. And also, for a cringe miss, we usually have a vote for whatever cringy movie we want to cover.
Yep.
That you guys want us to cover. You can find all that and more at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast on Facebook, and at Unnerved on Twitter. On Twitter, you can also DM us, recommendations instead of, like, doing comments and tagging us. It's way easier, and then we can get more feedback with you guys. And also, if you want to see any additional Unnerved stuff that I may find out in the world, like, sometimes I'll find movie posters, or promote a movie that we're seeing.
Yep.
Or also haunted house stuff. You can follow my Instagram at Lilith_Hilltopple. All the links that we just gobbledygooked out into the stratosphere is in the description.
Hell yeah.
So yeah. So join us again in 2 weeks for Hereditary.
Yay! Bye!